Oh. Merry Christmas. Christmas Day. Christmas Day is very special. And Christmas Eve, and with the music, we think of the events that happened and the wonder of God's love and in its experience. Today, on Christmas Day, the church through the centuries has chosen lessons that focus on the deeper meaning of Christmas, that take us into what really happened in the incarnation, the mystery of God becoming a human being. So may the Holy Spirit bless you as we think deeply today about God becoming a human being. Hymn number 80.
be rise to worship the Lord, following the order for divine service, which starts at the top of page 3 of your service book. In the name of the Father,
and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Be loved in the Lord. Let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His one and only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the peace of forgiveness and with the song of the angels, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, Grant that the birth of your only Son in the flesh may set us free from our old bondage under the yoke of sin. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first scripture lesson of today's service comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52. Isaiah is often thought of as the fifth evangelist, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Isaiah. And here in these wonderful words, he looks ahead and he sees the birth of the Messiah. He sees the salvation of the Lord. And he says, how wonderful are the feet, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring those good tidings to all the world, for they are for everyone. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen. Your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord. We sing God's praises this Easter Christmas morning in the Psalm of the Day, Psalm 96. The second lesson this Christmas day is written in the first chapter of the letter to the Hebrew Christians. These are the opening words of this letter to the Christians who had grown up following the Old Covenant, looking for the coming of the Messiah. And throughout the letter to the Hebrews, the writer shows them in every way that the new covenant under Christ Jesus is superior to the old. Here we see the mystery of the incarnation laid before us. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son. Today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is written in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. These are the beginning words of the Gospel of John. John's purpose was to show that Jesus was, in fact, God come to redeem his people. So he takes us back to the very beginning of creation, since Christ is the culmination of everything. And then he introduces to us the message of John the Baptizer. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself is not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him,
the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed with that longer second article that lets us speak our faith about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, came fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue with the hymn of the day, hymn number 54. grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, born this day to redeem us. Throughout the time of Advent and Christmas, we've been focusing on worship and how the people who were involved in worship, people and angels last night, how they help us to worship. Today, our focus is on the shepherds. Listen to that portion of the Christmas story that tells what happened. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Fellow children of God, the hearts of God's people, our hearts, are stirred with the angel's wonderful announcement. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. How much we need a Savior. How much we need God to intervene, to come into this world, which goes merrily along, crashing into God's judgment. We need God to be there, to be here in our lives. And he came. And through the eyes of the shepherds, we can get a grasp of what exactly was happening and what it means for us. We come here this morning with differing things on our minds. Perhaps we're troubled by events that are occurring in our place of work, within our family, of people who are hurting. Perhaps we come this morning with sad hearts on a Christmas day, where memories are good, but they bring also tears for those whom the Lord has called to himself. Maybe most importantly of all, Christmas is meaningful to those who know that they have not been what they should have been, that we have failed to do the things that we should be doing, the love that we should be showing. For all of those people, the story of the shepherds is for you. Today, we celebrate Christmas with the shepherds. May he bless us this morning as he did then in Bethlehem so long ago. This story is for you as we celebrate Christmas with the shepherds. If you want to celebrate Christmas with them, then remember these three things that they did. They went, they worshiped, and then they witnessed. The first thing that they did is they went. After the angel disappeared, the Greek words say that they were speaking to one another. I'll bet they could hardly stop. I'll bet they were all speaking at the same time. Can you believe it? I was so afraid when the glory of the Lord shone around us. I remember hearing about the Shekinah, the glory of the Lord that led the children of Israel, and that's what was there. It's incredible. They spoke to one another. When the angels had left them and gone into heavens, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. Notice, they didn't say to themselves, "Well, let's go to Bethlehem and see if the thing that we heard that the angels have told us about has really happened." There is not the slightest doubt in their mind that this has happened. And this appearance to them was for us. This appearance of God's glory. Look to whom it came. Didn't come to the high priest. Didn't come to the Sadducees, the liberals of the day, who are always trying to figure out how to compromise God's word with the culture around them. Didn't come to the Pharisees, who thought that keeping the covenant down to the last detail was what was needed. No, it came to simple shepherds. I remember the story of Joseph when his brothers came from the promised land to Egypt. God brought them there because the people of Canaan, the Canaanites, were way too influential on them. There are stories in Genesis about what was happening. Brought them to Egypt. Why? Because they could be there for 400 years and still be focusing on returning one day to the promised land. And one of the outward reasons why that was true was because they were shepherds. And in the story of Joseph, we discover that the Egyptians won't eat with them. Those people out there, those Bedouins out there, they smell bad. To the shepherds, the angel comes. To the shepherds, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they went. There are lots of people who don't go. They go to the mall, but not to the manger. To all kinds of shops, you know, but not to Bethlehem. We're here, though, aren't we? But still, it's difficult for us. Those events are so long ago. They're way back then, and now we're living in our life, and we have to get back to normal things. And so God preserves these stories for us so that we can worship with the shepherds. The hymn we just sang captured that. "Where shepherds lately knelt and kept the angel's word, I come in half belief, a pilgrim strangely stirred. But there is room and welcome there for me." There is room and welcome there for me. Welcome for every one of us in the stable. And we go there with the shepherds. They worshiped the Lord. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. Exactly what the angel had told them was true. Can you imagine the scene? First, they have to figure out, well, what are we going to do with our sheep? They're shepherds. You don't leave your sheep out there alone. So they quickly have to figure something out. I don't know what they did. Maybe they found a sheepfold for them. Perhaps they found someone to take their place. I don't know. But they took care of their sheep, but they hurried. There was only one thing that was important, and that was to see this wonderful thing, the Messiah, the one we've been looking for all of these centuries. He's come. And so they hustle off, and they get to Bethlehem. Well, where's the child? Well, it isn't very difficult. They knock on the door. We're looking for a newborn babe, one wrapped in strips of cloth, a child in diapers. And his crib is a manger. Well, I don't imagine they had to go to too many houses in that small village before somebody told them that Mary and Joseph had prepared a place for the baby to be born in a stable. Everybody's always excited by the birth of a child, and they knew about it. So quickly, they learned where the house was, where the child was, where that stable was. And they went there. The baby didn't glow like in our Christmas cards, but that didn't make any difference. Exactly the message that God had given them was there. And so we picture them kneeling, coming to worship God. They knew who that baby was. They didn't think he was some wonderful little child who would bring peace to the world. That's not enough. They knew that God had come into the world, the Messiah. The Christ, the Anointed One, was God Himself. And so they worshiped this child. And there is room there for us. Things can be so routine, can't they? Oh, it's Christmas. We got all the things kind of behind us. This is the day where we relax, enjoy a wonderful meal, fellowship with our family, sharing gifts of love, all wonderful things. But the most important thing of all is that we could be there to worship. We could be there with the shepherds in spirit and in heart and know that God has come into our world. The world outside of the people of God that the scripture describes is a world in which people think that everything just goes on and on forever and ever. It just keeps rolling on. You get on the wheel for a little while, you spend your time, and then you die and you're gone. And God says through the angels and in the glory that appeared around the shepherds, no. God created the world. God is going to bring it to an end, and the Lord has come to fix what happened in the Garden of Eden. That's why the disciples knelt and worshiped. And you can imagine that for the rest of their days, they were thinking about what occurred. Long after people weren't really particularly interested in the story that they had to tell, Jesus had gone to Egypt, the baby Jesus, and then returned to Nazareth. So where was he? Perhaps no one knew at all. But in their hearts, they knew what they had seen. And we have been able to worship the Christ child with him. And then what happened? And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now, in the story, in the whole Christmas story, one is always amazed at how these ordinary people, like Mary, like Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptizer, and others, how clearly they perceived what was happening. Now you can imagine these disciples meeting someone and wanting to share the good news. You know, when we have really good news, we just can't hardly wait to find somebody to tell it to. But when they go and tell, they don't focus on the angels or the glory of the Lord? No, Luke tells us, when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And what was told them? That a Savior had been born, The Messiah had come, and God had kept the promises down through all the ages. Salvation has come to his people. Oh, I'm sure they talked about the angel too. I'm sure they talked about the glory of the Lord when they said we had our faces buried in the ground hoping we were going to survive. But what they really shared was the good news of salvation. They witnessed. And so on this Christmas morning, we find ourselves in the same stable, don't we? Coming there, knowing all of our difficulties, recognizing our sins, bowing before the Lord who has come to redeem his people, and then anxious to share the good news. But maybe I say to myself, well, I don't know. I don't know how anxious I am to share that good news. Well, that depends on how much you understand what was happening there. It depends on how you see yourself. Are you really simply a lost soul in this world who has no hope whatsoever, but now has life, is once again connected with the Lord Jesus Christ? When we understand what has happened, we share the word. Luke wants to tell us that again. They shared with Mary what had happened. Mary treasured up those words. Now, Mary wasn't there to see the glory of the Lord and the angels, but she pondered these things that the shepherds told her in her heart, and especially the word about Jesus being the Messiah. She got that. She understood that. The shepherds returned. Kind of a long weekend here at Christmas, isn't it? We've got Saturday and Sunday, and then all who worship with the shepherds will return, won't we, to our regular life, if not on Monday, then soon thereafter. We have to return. We have to live our lives. But what happened? The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. When they returned to taking care of their sheep, well, God didn't give them a new vocation, a new job to do. Well, he had. But they still went back to shepherding. And the new job that they had was to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to talk about what they have heard, they had heard and seen. And so for us too. We go back to our regular lives. They return. You realize how important your job is? Unless you've taken up a job that has no value, and there are people who do things that really aren't worth anything and don't matter, that are harmful perhaps, but most of us have useful jobs. And in that job, we preach the Lord Jesus Christ when we do the things that we're called to do in life, whether it be parent or student, whether it be an employee, an employer, whatever we are in life, when we live our Christian lives, we're doing what the shepherds did. Nobody would listen to their message if they became people who tried to live off of what they had heard and seen in some way. So we return. We go back to our regular lives, but things are different. We are strangely stirred, as Yaroslav Vaida told us in the hymn we sang. Our hearts are strangely stirred. Nothing is the same for those who have worshiped with the shepherds. May God bless you this Christmas. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. With joy in our hearts, we bring our offerings to the Christ child. We rise to pray. Join in the prayer of the Church for Christmas Day on page 10 of your service folder. On this holy day, dear Father, we rejoice to hear the good news of great joy that a Savior has been born for us. For fulfilling your prophecies and in the fullness of time sending your Son to be our Savior, we give you our heartfelt thanks and praise. What a great mystery of our faith this is, that God has become fully human for our salvation. Even though he is the all-powerful Lord of all, he is wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger. In the midst of our joy, we grieve for the many people in our world who do not know that Jesus has come to bring them forgiveness and healing. As the shepherds spread abroad the good news of the birth of the Savior, born for all the world, May we also make use of the unique opportunities this holiday presents to tell others of what we have seen and heard concerning the child. Hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions on this Christmas day. As the angels sang out their praise, move us also to sing out our praise to you today and every day as the joy of Christmas remains in our hearts.
Glory to God in the highest. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the wonder and mystery of his birth, you have opened our eyes to the glory of your grace and renewed in our hearts the fervor of your love. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Yeah.
of our members and those guests who have previously announced may step forward now at the direction of the ushers.
This is the true blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Take drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, poured out for you. May this strengthen and preserve the true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Your sins have been forgiven.
This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins.
May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Sins are forgiven. Strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this true body and blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven. We rise to sing the Song of Simeon on page 13 of your service folder.
In peace, Lord, you let your servant now depart according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
O God the Father, source of all goodness, in your loving kindness you sent your Son to share our humanity. We thank you that through him you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We also pray that you will not forsake us, but will rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, so that we willingly serve you day after day, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
A Merry Christmas to all and a warm welcome to those who are guests this Christmas morning. We have a gift for you, those of our guests. We'd like you to pick that up at the back of the church entry as you leave. And we hope it will be a blessing to you in the days that lie ahead. Much to be thankful for at Christmas time, and among those things to thank the Lord for is that our new pastor has accepted the call. Most of you know that. But we plan, God willing, to have installation on the 24th of January. So things are moving along quickly. We hope, of course, we can get him out of South Dakota. They were planning to go to Tucson. I don't think they made it today. 50-mile-an-hour winds, a foot of snow. So, but he'll make it here. His last Sunday is the 17th, though, and that's going to be short order. In 1 week, moving and getting here for installation. So, God's blessings to you. Enjoy Christmas Day with loved ones.